Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Sessions podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Today we're going to be having a Q&A episode. These are some of my favorite episodes. We get to just answer some questions that y'all have and give some directed value. Hopefully you guys can walk away with some great takeaways from this episode. We've got lots of questions to go through, so we're not going to take too much time. Let's pour some batchy as always. Let's get some coffee in the blood.
Here's the question. Is it Q&A or Q&R? And what?
Why is it Q&R?
And what hits the algorithm better?
Why?
What AdWords, what Google search engine benefits? That's a ChatGPT question.
Wow, what's Q&R?
Question and response.
Dude, I've never heard of that.
Oh, that's been very popular because, you know, do we really have any answers? We just have responses.
Dude, I don't know.
We're going to try to give a few answers and responses, but answers on some questions, probably responses on others.
Fair enough.
Why does this kind of taste metallic? Can you taste that?
It's not supposed to.
It's not supposed to. It's what, 2 weeks off of roast?
No, it's like a good
roast. 3-6.
316.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
So 10 days? I don't know.
No, 16, it's 8. Well, I mean, we are recording at midnight. Do you count this as a day?
But that's like we're committed to this Q&A.
Drinking some coffee at midnight.
Oh, man. It's okay.
There's some dark fruit.
My pour over was much better of this.
Same roast date?
Much better. Yeah, it was the same bag. It had more of the honey and the stone fruit.
Just a lot of like metallic.
I think it's too fine.
Too fine?
It tastes think a little it's over-extracted?
It's not astringent. It's just not as juicy.
It's not juicy. Yeah, just not a good brew. I don't know what happened.
It tastes slightly watery. As it cools, I'm picking up some flavor. Some nice flavors, I mean. Not just some flavor. It kind of reminds me of... I don't want to say an African coffee.
No.
It doesn't. Not. But it does remind me kind of some Ethiopian coffees I've recently had.
Dude, I don't know what kind of Ethiopian coffees you're drinking.
I mean...
I want Ethiopian coffees to taste like this.
Like this?
Yeah.
Dude, have you had La Barba Shantawini?
No, it does not taste that way.
It doesn't. But don't you think that's a good Ethiopian coffee?
It's a good Ethiopian coffee. It doesn't taste like this.
It doesn't. But what I like about this is it has that, not in a bad sense. I know you don't like when I say this, but it has that like kind of black tea, that tea like flavor.
This is not what I got on my pour overs. My filters tasted way better than this.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I do think maybe I added too much water. It tastes a little thin.
Yeah, I don't know. Folks, this is a Colombian coffee roasted by a local roaster out here.
No, it isn't.
What is it?
It is not.
What is it? Oh, so this is probably why... Wait, this is why I'm confused.
Yeah, this is not... I'm like, no. This coffee's way better.
Whoa, I just got... This is like a little switcheroo.
Yeah.
This was unplanned. I thought you dumped that
coffee out.
Oh, that's why I was like, dude, this tastes nothing like it.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine. I kind of enjoy it.
Okay, that changes everything.
Yeah.
This is why you should cup coffees blindly, because a lot of bias goes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if somebody gives you like, hey, this is an Ethiopian natural, and you give them like a Honduras washed, it's going to mess with your brain. Yeah. I mean, of course, at that point, you'd doubt what you were drinking, but wow.
That's why I'm like, this coffee was not roasted on 316. This coffee roasted on the 6th of March.
Oh, boy.
Aftertaste is nice. That sweetness on it.
That makes sense.
It's still not the best brew.
Not
the best brew, it's, for sure. I'm not going to say that it was the best.
But it's, yeah, that makes sense. Now what you're saying makes sense. Folks, this is our Guatemalan that we just sold out of.
Yeah.
From Wilmer Castillo, the elephant bean. It did well. I love it. People loved it. Exactly. So, wow, that changes everything. I'm stoked to keep sipping on this. But anyways, friends, let's get into this, folks. We these are questions from the YouTube, from our last YouTube podcast on YouTube, the comments. This is some questions from my personal Instagram, Sergi's personal Instagram, and in the mirror Instagram. And so there's a lot of questions to go through. Let's dive in. Friends, there was way too much that we couldn't fit them all in, but they were phenomenal ideas that we'll probably cover in future episodes. So stay tuned. But thank you so much to everyone who dropped a question. So let's get started. We have Brendan who asked on Instagram, said, what gets you through those stressful times as a business roaster? Why do we start with this one?
I don't know.
Brendan, and then a similar one was from Alex Wallace. Shout out to Alex.
Mm-hmm.
What a great guy. Have any short or long-term goals for Mir? More specifically, ones that keep you motivated.
Yeah.
So kind of playing off of each other a little bit, but not going to lie, what gets you through those stressful times as a business roaster? To be honest, for me, what gets me through is just realizing that there's ups and downs in running a business, ups and downs of this journey that we're on. And sometimes I'm just like, I just need to buckle through and push through and assuming, hey, what I'm going through right now is not going to be, it's not always going to be the case. Something I've learned is like, if I'm super, like, I don't really get super stressed out, but if I'm stressed, and there's a lot of things going on, I'm overwhelmed, too many things happening, all this stuff, and then things might not be going our way. For me, I try to limit the amount of important decisions I make.
Yeah.
Because my mindset is, this is just a short time. You just need to keep busting through it. And if that doesn't work, you know, sometimes a little break helps. Go out, take a weekend off somewhere. Or something like that. So
yeah, I don't know. I think for me, some of the motivations to keep me going and moving forward comes in two part. One would be definitely the more philosophical idea of, you know, what coffee does to the world on a big scale. Mm-hmm. So those bigger goals, like the impact, the reason I got into coffee and seeing how coffee connects the whole supply chain. So I usually, during stressful times, try to step back and see the bigger picture and admire the bigger picture. Just admire it, like without even myself into it. Let's say I have given nothing to the coffee community. I have not done anything. Just looking at the coffee community, but also looking at what coffee does across the globe and admiring that. So some admiration. But I think within that also, like, very practical way is the same thing that keeps me waking up and dialing in espressos or roasting and searching for that new coffee is that excitement of, like, flavor. Like, I just love tasty things. And I think just thinking about it, like, man, maybe coffees aren't dialing in well for us. When we're roasting, coffees are aging. Maybe we're going through some practical struggles, thinking of, like, man, there's got to be a coffee out there. Like, classic Godshot thought process, right? Like, man, like, I know there's good coffee out there. And I think those kind of motivations of, like, looking and searching and pursuing just keeps me pushing through the stressful times.
That's no fair. You had, like, a really philosophical, serious approach. I was like, dude, I just need to head down and keep cranking at it. So that was the wrong answer from me.
No.
Well, folks, yes, I like to dream, think of the future, how much brighter it will be.
Yeah, totally.
Have any short-term or long-term goals from here? That's a hard one.
Yep.
I will say right now, the most important or the one of the bigger goals that we're thinking about is how do we hopefully get one of us to go full time.
Yeah,
that's a big one. And then looking for a space to a new Mir HQ. That's right now it's kind of in a temporary spot, not what we want long term. And dreaming about what that looks like and working up towards that. So one step at a time. But More specifically, ones that keep you motivated. Well, I think the long-term goal for Mir in general, and this could be a whole episode, and we should redo this episode because we've done this before, but it's really our work with producers and building relationships and all that, all the stuff that comes along with that. Yeah. Because that is like a big like 10-year goal where I'm envisioning roasting, you know, really spectacular coffees, having these long-term legendary producers that we've been working with for ages, and just all this good stuff that comes along, and telling their stories, shooting these documentaries, the stuff that if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard us talk about. That's exciting. Yeah. That's stuff that keeps me motivated. So
yeah, I think a little wacky goal to throw out for everyone and get inside my head and for y'all to know how I think is, I'm thinking I would love to go to Indo and like have a branch of Mir in like Indonesia, right? I want to be invested a little more on the like coffee farming side. And if there's anywhere I would want to live overseas, it would be in Indonesia. Yeah. So one, I've lived there already. Two, have, you know, one of my best friend that lives there right now. And then knowing that, man, I can maybe start a little branch, whether that's a small cafe overseas or something like that. If I could make anything like happen with family schedules and all of that, I'd probably move to Indonesia at least for a season of time. So that's a big kind of out there wacky goal and dream.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's ever going to be attainable. But that's kind of fun to think that Mir can go international one day.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. There's so much I could say about that, but we'll leave that for another episode that has the time to dive into that. Kiki One Lab One, I think that's the Instagram name handle. Any black owned coffee companies either of you have enjoyed? And is there any other food beverage that you all are into as much as, or almost as much as coffee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty easy. I met Ephraim, the owner of Boon Boona, back in 2020 and connected really with him, with his story. And he was actually dealing with COVID in a very interesting way in a relationship. So I got that personal connection with him and started serving Boon Boona at that time when I was at Makeworth Market, or Makeworth Coffee Roasters now. And so I automatically like fell in love with Boon Boona. And then the funny thing is, I think, was it like 6 months or a year later, Boon Boona won the cupping at Narrative, and Narrative served Boon Boona. So they have got to be my favorite black-owned coffee business still to this day. On top of that, I'd also give a shout-out to my homeboy Carlos with Happy Home Coffee Roasters. I just love him. Carlos. He's a great human being.
Yes.
Just follow that account. Go follow the roasting company. Buy coffee from Carlos. He's amazing.
Happy Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Boon Boona is a standout. Excellent Ethiopian coffees, all the good stuff. And so yeah, I'd second that one. And they're just right down the street, kind of almost in Seattle. Yeah. So is there any other food beverage that you all are into as almost as much as coffee? I mean, just coffee really. But I would say I'm a little picky with my food. I have this concept of like, hey, if I'm gonna go in and order food from you, pay for you to make it, I want it to be tasty. I mean, it goes through the same scoring sheet as I do with my coffee.
Yeah.
It's got to have complexity. Yeah. It's got to have acidity. It's got to have sweetness. It's got to have good body, good texture, mouthfeel. Guys, it's got to be good. I mean, I'm not going to get mad if if I make some scrambled eggs and they taste like garbage. I'm fine. That's my skills. I can't do very good. That's fine. You know, I just need some nourishment for my body to get going. But if I'm going to pay somebody, I'm usually nitpicky. Yeah. And but it's been fun also trying food with you, especially the time we went to Carnal, spots we've been to, and whether that's Vancouver, BC or in Portland, because I think you also similarly have a little knack for food. But any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know how specific when I go on this question, because there's a lot. Like, food is similar to coffee. Of course, it's food and beverage, right? It's all about that experience and the combination of taste with the experience of being at a restaurant or like at home. Like I love going out to eat. So for sure, you mentioned Carnal already. It's like probably my favorite restaurant here in Bellingham. And I like everything from the presentation, how they create their menu, their the ingredients that they source, the way they source them. They're all always tasty, like always on point. And of course, it is slightly pricey, but well deserving to be pricey. So I think that I think on a specific thing, like what are some categories of food? I mean, this is completely like left wing of like opposite of Carnal. I love food trucks as well. Like I love the vibe. I love the experience of a food truck.
Yes.
And outside of a food truck, there's a place in Bellingham that has Berea Tacos. I don't know. Have you been there? It's called something Tijuana. I think Berea Tijuana or something like that. It's over by Miranchos.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those tacos. It's awesome. The vibe. It's like, it's awesome. I've been to Mexico once, and that's the only thing I can compare it to. And I felt like going back to Tijuana, which I've been there. So it was, the whole experience was good. The food was super tasty. Yeah, I absolutely love, like right now I'm on that hype of like Berea Tacos.
Dude, that's excellent. So Berea Taco aficionado here, that new Facebook group, join the Reddit forum. But I think just food in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something beautiful to say about really excellent food. It's so intertwined with coffee, but it's nice that I'm don't work in it because helps me enjoy the craft simply just for the fact that I just love food. I love really delicious food. That's nice not to be in it like coffee, because then it's like you're not thinking it from like a work background. Like I don't know, there's like a different different feel to it,
right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We got a question from Keys to the Shop. Shout out to Chris, right?
Yep, Chris.
He asks, how has coffee given you hope for your family life? And how has family given you hope in coffee?
Wow. Deep question. One. I mean, that's a podcast on its own, right?
I would not expect anything less from you, Chris.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I love it. I guess, wow. I think like that's, I can get very philosophical here. So I'm like, try not to go off the deep end, but I think that there's a few things, at least for me personally, like working with people and building relationships in general, is very hopeful. One of the things within that answer is like Maxwell Mooney is a very big inspiration to me just as a human being, and simply like from getting to know him and seeing how much he cares about having dialogue, and especially in a time where right now, and I mean, it's hard to just say right now, just for maybe the last few years, we've just seen so much tension, polarization, all of that, and seeing how passionate Max is about bridging the gap and connecting people and make sure there's conversation and dialogue happening, that gives me hope. And that's the kind of stuff that I see in the industry and coffee in general, that I'm like, that brings me hope. Like we can actually change the world by running a coffee company. So that's one part. More?
What about the other part?
The other part? Oh man. How has family given you hope in coffee?
I'm low key kicking the can down the street. Cause I'm like, dude, this is challenging. This is just hard. I've never thought about it that way. And it's so interestingly worded and put that it's challenging. I don't know if I can like answer that on the spot, you know, either of those. So I don't know any other thoughts.
Maybe
you'll inspire something.
I mean, the other thing is like, Chris, like, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about coffee, the seed? Are we talking about coffee as in the industry and the people? And that's why I bring up Max, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of like more or less the people that make up this industry. But again, like one of the things about that I love about the very nature of the coffee seed, that always is on my mind, that always like gives me hope and inspiration, is the fact that all of the goodness is within a coffee seed. And part of our job as roasters is to reveal and reflect that goodness, right? And I feel like that is very similar. That little reminder of like drinking coffee, consuming coffee reminds me that there's still like good in people and in the world. Part of my job as a human is to reveal that good. Mm-hmm. So I know that is very, what's the word I'm looking here for? That is a very meta kind of very out there, but I think that is also, that is what got me into coffee is that little vision for it.
Yeah. I think, that distinguishing of like, how has coffee given you hope for your family life? Now is family giving you hope in coffee? And in coffee feels like, is it, you know, the coffee beverage or the coffee career or job or what it is? Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, I think now hearing that and kind of just thinking about it some more, I think what's been fun is running Mirror as a coffee brand and a coffee business has made me become so much more intentional about where the coffee comes from, the producers that we worked with, the whole supply chain, the relationships I've built around coffee, all the wonderful people in the industry, you know, Max, you know, I mean, you mentioned him already, but also running a business and serving people that I've never met before and thinking, and always thinking, my mindset is literally like, how do I add more value to the people buying our coffee? How can I serve them better? Even though we're miles and miles and miles away, like I may never ever see some of these people, probably most of these people ever. And so how has that given me hope for my family life is really just, I think it's inspired me to both, and this could be a little more like entrepreneurial as well, but being a problem solver, having to think optimistically, having to think, being hopeful actually about the future, despite whatever's happening in the present, being able to think big picture and not being so, you know, specific minded that, man, you might be going through some rough difficulties. How do you step back and say, hey, despite all this, like we're still family, it doesn't matter. And so I think that's how coffee has impacted that and given me hope. But then, and I think also the other way around, you know, family has given you hope in coffee. I think realizing that, especially like on this past origin trip, thinking about family and relationships so much bigger.
Yeah. That's big.
Like it's grand. It's grand. Like it's so interconnected. It's like international. It's global. It's as big as it gets. If there were aliens, you know, on a different galaxy, that'd be even further. But that probably doesn't exist. So this is like really the furthest way apart, but yet still remaining connected. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm also thinking through the aspects of like, as like my daughter just turned 2, I guess today or yesterday now. Yeah. So like processing family from being a dad and some of the things that I'm learning as a dad that actually inspire me in how we do one business, but also how I run the cafe and how I manage a cafe. So I think there's a lot of these concepts that I am literally just learning communication all over again with a person who is not able to use English to communicate. But I'm also experiencing things like love, like I've never experienced before. And then being able to, learn that from a way different perspective as a father and as a parent, and then be like, oh, that's kind of, but not the same, how I feel about being in coffee and the very aspect and nature of what coffee means to me. I think those are pretty mutual. And again, these answers are like very deep and philosophical, and it's hard to not unpack them and not like dive into different elements of what I mean by what I've just said. But
Chris, thanks for the question. Hey, we want to have you on the podcast, so let us know.
Yeah.
All right, this is going to be, friends, for those of you who are following me on Instagram, I went on a little bit of an AI rant the other day. I never do that. I never post stories like that, but I did go and I got lots of responses. So there's a set of questions that were specifically directed towards that. So we have Pat saying, how has ChatGPT benefited you guys so far in your work/life? Kyle Vandervelde said, how will AI change the coffee world specifically in Coffee with Kimmy? How are you integrating AI into your business and how do you see it scaling in the future? So a lot of very similar questions. We'll say this. I'm not an AI wizard. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And I think I just had my epiphany where a lot of things clicked. I went from being this cool like tech software to all of a sudden being, oh wait, this is not only cool, but extremely practical. And so, you know, how has ChatGPT benefited you guys so far in your work and life? Not very much, but it has changed how I'm thinking about things already. Mm-hmm. It's changed how I see things, how I see tasks, and think about the internet in the future of what business with AI looks like. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. Like, what happens when you can, you know, ask ChatGPT where the best Ethiopian is, or, you know, in town, or how, what happens when ChatGPT knows exactly your flavor preferences in coffee and how automatically when you're in the new town, it finds coffee for you already. Like stuff like that, that's like changing how I'm thinking about things. And so how do I, how, I mean, how will it, oh, that's the next one. But how will AI change the coffee world specifically? I think it'll change how we roast coffee, how we source coffee. It's going to change the entire supply chain. It's going to change even how we brew coffee. I think once we get, coffee's always lagging in tech, but once we get the tech and the machines to work with AI, I think it's crazy stuff is going to happen. The concept of dialing in manually, I think will be done.
Yep.
I think the bar flow will change completely. I think we'd actually go into a very automatic world, even though a lot of us don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be so much more seamless and it's going to improve the coffee experience so much higher. And imagine it's going to also change roasting. Imagine if you can train an AI model based off of Rob Hoose's roasting approach and then ask ChatGPT or AI, ask, hey, how would Rob roast this coffee?
Yeah,
and then it would give you exactly what you need to, and it would be exactly like him. Like that stuff like that is mind-boggling that it could do that. But it's not out of this world. You know, it's like it's very feasible. So stuff like that.
I think one of the ways that AI, just AI in general, the way I'm thinking about AI, that's it's more about like connection and, in a sense that AI will connect us to more data or data and will kind of bridge that gap and help us understand things. But also, obviously, if it's artificial intelligence, it has, quote unquote, a mind of its own. I think that could also be very, this is the sketch part, but beneficiary to how we make decisions in general in business, because we'll have almost like another mind, but not separate of our mind, because it'll be connected to a lot of our data and understanding, that it'll almost, quote unquote, two minds will think better than one, in a sense, that concept. So one, roasting, that's the main thing that I was thinking about when you were talking, is how implementing all of the information that we have, not only about roasting, but about green coffee, and asking ChatGPT or asking AI to come up with solutions that we, because we don't have access to all that information, we can't even make those connections.
Well, actually, like a lot of what's happening right now in the medical field is that they're generating specific like vaccines and solutions to issues because of an AI model that can run different kind, like a good, like pair that with a supercomputer, like it's running so many different models mm-hmm. that for us to experiment with all those would yeah. take years exactly. and years. So it's expediting a lot of those things. So instead of having to experiment with roast, and we throw some roasts away yeah. or, you know, with coffee and whatever, whether that's from the farmer side, mm-hmm. experimenting with processing, or from the roasting or the dialing in, now if AI has enough data to solve those issues and run a bunch of experiments internally in its brain or in the hardware, imagine it just spits out the right answer yeah. all the time. And you don't need to guess, is this going to yeah. taste good? Is this not? You can just give it parameters yeah. and it can tell you what you're looking for without needing to go through the trial and error of finding the optimal. Yeah. So, I think it'll change it a lot, yeah. like insanely, especially coffee, because yeah. I think we're still so young as an industry and we have so much room to grow that adding such a big curveball in there mm-hmm. will be insane.
Yeah. I one thought I have, and I don't want to stick around here because, again, I don't know enough to give a very formal answer to this. But where my mind goes to is if you're a consumer, this will also help you find the coffee that you absolutely enjoy. Yes. And then if you're a home barista on top of that, if you're a home barista that is a consumer, of course, you can now or possibly in the future input, hey, this is how I like to brew coffee. You don't even have to say like the best way to brew this coffee. You basically say, hey, let's say I brew V60s with one pulse. Uh-huh. And AI can help you find a coffee that will fit that style of brewing. Because it'll know the solubility levels of it. It'll know the development. It'll know the flavor profile that matches that brew the best. It'll give you exactly like what you want.
And it'll give you exactly the grind setting to use.
Right.
In yeah. microns.
Well, it already knows your grinder, let's
everything.
Say.
Everything. Yeah. Because it's insane. That
data yeah. is inputted.
And yeah. I'll last thought also, it'll actually change. A lot of these things are scary because they're going to replace a lot of things. And you're wondering, well, if everybody's going to be roasting great coffee or serving great coffee, what's left? Is it everything's going to be the same? Actually, I think it's actually going to up the experience.
Yeah.
So coffee will be specifically tasting the way specifically the owner or the yeah. person who runs the cafe exactly wants it, which will differ depending on where yeah. you go. But it'll also increase the experience. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to think about, okay, all of a sudden, if we're more productive and we're doing less work and things being done, that means we'll have more time to focus on other mm-hmm. things. And we're going to have to focus on
yeah.
An extraordinary coffee experience. Yeah. It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Imagine if one barista can crush through a rush easy with the help of AI. So what do you do then?
Yeah, you serve people better.
Yeah. It's going to yeah. be insane.
Yeah. It'll open up so much more room for preference because yeah. my thought is like
personalization
yeah. and like preference. It'll actually open like Pandora's box for that. Mm-hmm. It'll be so next level that this is crazy to think, you'll actually desire more.
Yes.
Not less. It'll open up so much more space for desire. Similar 100%. To like when the Tiffany Co., we've been talking about the Tiffany Co. sneakers, right? The Air Force, they're just Air Force Ones, but they're not just Air Force Ones.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the concept behind it.
1000%. And it'll be so much more profitable and easier for cafes.
Okay.
Which is finally going to be the case. Anyways, yeah. Coffee with Kimmy, how are you integrating AI into your business? How do you see it scaling in the future this way? We just answered that. But how am I integrating it right now into our business? Not quite yet, but I already have plans. There's going to be some stuff coming up that we're going to start experimenting with here in the very near future. So be on the lookout for that. So, yeah. But probably it's going to help us write some blogs. It's going to help us create content, streamline the content process, which takes a lot of time. Like this podcast takes a lot of time. Yeah. Not that AI is going to be doing the podcast, but yeah. there's other things. So Alex Rose says, do you guys ever disagree on things? How do you handle the family work balance? Yes, yeah. we definitely disagree on things.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Those are two different questions, I assume, too. Yeah. Right? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys ever, that's a yes or no question, but yes, we do. But I think also it's very like beneficiary to just who we are as humans, and then also who, what mirror is in general. Because a lot of the times, especially when I first read this question, I'm like, oh, that sounds almost like negative connotation, but I'm like, no, it's not. It's absolutely not. To have one difference of opinion is very important. And then to be able to disagree on certain things, but agree on other things, it's very important. Like Mark and I are two different people. We have two different life experiences. So I think a lot of, especially recent stuff that we've been dialoguing, like our disagreement isn't a black and white, like you're right, I'm wrong kind of thing. It's more or less our life experience. We have a very different life experience, and also similar concepts have defined how we view different things.
Yeah.
So therefore we may disagree based on our life experience, but at the core, we kind of agree on everything. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, we for sure disagree. And I think that's fine. The point, I don't think, is to be, to agree on everything. I don't think it's the point. It's the goal. I actually think it, I think it's beneficial because it's this constant of being challenged. Not to say that, I mean, the stuff that we agree on is like, cool, we agree on it, let's go. There's no doubt that we're on the same page. Let's just full send ahead. It's the stuff that we don't agree on where actually leads to, I think, challenging each other, getting into really difficult, rough conversations that are not always easy to have, and really, really seeking to find the solution and an answer to something. And oftentimes out of that, there are no solutions, or oftentimes out of that, there are solutions that actually become really proactive or really huge learning experiences, which is great. I mean, if you don't have that, then you're losing out on a lot of really good experience and then knowledge as also. So, and how do you, how do you handle the family work balance?
That's always a tough one. Like recently I've had to like cut down on quote unquote work. You can say like, there's a lot of things, like I didn't go to Guatemala for that reason. Cause I knew that it was a little more important to stay home than, you know, to do something I've been desiring to do forever, to go to Origin. So it's not easy. Like that's for sure. But then again, when you do what you love, it's really hard to call it a balance, right? We've always critiqued the idea of work-life balance. But I think it's also changed for me a lot having a kid. There's some things that I just can't do. Like if I need to show up and roast, I have to figure out who's going to watch Rain. Like, you know what I mean? I can't just not watch Rain. You know what I mean? So things have definitely changed, and there needs to be some more of an ebb and flow thing. But again, it comes down to, okay, I love what I do and I love my family. They're different kinds of loves, and you have to figure out how to love both.
For sure. I think you have a much different experience with that than I do. Cause I don't have a child. I'm not married. I have a lot less responsibilities. And so, let's just say I don't have a balance. I'm just like, cool. All right. Like I woke up this morning at, you know, 7:30 and have been working since then. Great. And it's, you know, it's very late and I'm like, cool. This is what it takes. I'm loving it and I'm enjoying it. And then, of course, that, you know, that doesn't mean I'm neglecting everything else. It just means I have so much more flexibility for that with that than you do. And you know, I think that's one thing that I'm just gonna finish off with saying is that it's an ebb and flow, and it's this won't look the same in for me 9 months later. Won't look the same for me 2 years later, and 3 and 5 and 10, and that's okay. The problem is, like in life, you don't wake up, go look at your calendar, and there's like a hard X, man, like this Thursday, everything's going to change for me. Like that's not the case.
Yeah.
Like, hey, some like, you know, God or the universe somehow told you this day, you're going to have to change your whole work life, family life dynamics. That never happens. You just walk right into it, and you're learning as you're going. You're learning as you're experiencing. You're like, oh man, I need to change this, or I need to change this, or I have a little more to give here. And so you're just always trying to be aware of, man, what is going on? What do I need right now? What do the people, you know, around me need, and stuff like that. So
yeah, there's definitely different seasons for quote unquote different balances. I just don't like the word balance. It's hard to find things that are in balance, like, you know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
So I don't like that word necessarily, but I get it. Like, some seasons we go a little harder. Some seasons, you know, we've had to roast like well into 1 a.m. Sometimes we're recording podcasts up to like 1 a.m. like today. And then other times it's like, there's no way we can do that. Like, we just have to say no.
Yeah.
So being honest and figuring that out as you go.
In the words of Gary Vee, don't judge yourself.
Ooh.
Alrighty. Coming from Dare Dubs, Derek. Shout out to Derek. In what ways are you most inspired to use coffee to benefit others?
Wow. Just bring value to people. I'm just kidding, but being serious.
I mean, yeah,
you know what I mean?
But, yeah.
It's a classic Gary Vee answer. But no, seriously, I think, again, one of the things that I've noticed, I just hired or was part of the hiring process at Narrative and bringing three new people on into the team.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how much value like you can bring to people by simply just giving them this craft to work in, to study, to practice in, and see how that just brings life to people itself. Like that energizes me. And I think in the same way that also inspires me in what we do at Origin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how we maintain and how we have fostered those relationships out there. That is huge for me. Like, I brought up Indo already earlier, but if I could do more stuff in Indonesia, that inspires me.
Yeah, I think the, it's hard to say what most inspired because there's so many avenues. Number one, I think serving just excellence and really doing well at my craft, doing well at the work that I'm doing, and being able to supply that for people. Like, our coffee box brings me so much joy when somebody orders a coffee box, because I'm like, man, everything from the packaging to the full-on experience was so intentionally curated. And I wish I could just be a fly in the wall. And though when they're unboxing it, opening it, experiencing it, and I want to know what they feel like, what that experience is like. And I hope it's special. Yeah, I hope it's unique. Good. I hope it like vibrates something inside of them. And I hope that every coffee that they drink in that box is giving them those same experiences, you know? But also this last trip to Guatemala, the Origin trip, was very monumental for me. Like, hanging out with Jorge Mendez and his family, we've been buying their coffee for the last two almost coming up to 3 years. Like, and to be able to connect with them and to just have a simple conversation, to sit around their dinner table, like, for them to share about what they do as a family with me. And that was like, it was an unreal experience, but it was just like click, like, man, once again, going back to that family conversation, just felt like, man, this is family. It's global. It's international. Mm-hmm. It's mutual. Yeah. We're on the same page. We're benefiting each other. We're working together. And that inspires me that just felt so good, where I think for the first time in a while, it clicked with me that, man, you own a business that is involving multiple different countries and a handful of people, and you get to be tied to those different people groups, cultures. Just that was, I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. Like, this is it. This is what I've been talking about. This is what we've been talking about for so long. And it's here. It's me sitting in Jorge's, like, on their front porch. It was, I mean, the words can't explain. And that is how, that's what I'm probably most inspired by about benefiting others is, being an example of what good means.
Yeah. And I think that connection throughout the whole supply chain, one, like from origin, but also it reminds me of during all those lockdowns, during all those difficult times that we were experiencing in the beginning of 2020, mm-hmm. when we started going Instagram Live.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the folks that we've met during that time are like cool, like friends of ours now. Yeah. Like again, Alex Wallace is like one of them, you know?
Yeah.
And to see how we were able to make that connection, one, it wasn't just because we were all in like lockdown and all like at home stuck kind of thing, but it was because we got on an Instagram Live that was specifically about coffee. Yeah. Like I don't know where else we would have connected with Alex if it wasn't for coffee itself. 100%. So that connection inspires me a lot, whether that's between people who are brewing our coffee, the cafe experience, mm-hmm. and then the big picture, of course, big family is what inspires me as well.
Groovy. All right, Joseph C., a couple more, and we'll wrap this up. Joseph C. from YouTube says, what has been the biggest risk Mira has taken that didn't work out? Biggest risk that paid off? We'll be quick on this one. Biggest risk that Mira has, the risk Mira has taken on that didn't work out, when you cup coffees and you're like, man, we don't like it, but we think the people will. Yes. And then we despised that coffee and did not enjoy it. And that was a rough time. And we didn't even sell through all of it. We decided, let's just take it off. That was not fun. And that was a risk we took. And it was slightly more expensive than... it was actually... It wasn't bad. But that was a risk we took, knowing that, hey, we're not 100% on this. I don't even know why. That was just a stupid... That was a stupid idea. No. So Joseph, there you have it. That didn't work out.
Yeah.
Buying green is, you know, oftentimes a risk, you know. Yeah. But anyways, biggest risk that did pay off.
Those coffee bags.
Yes.
That was a pretty big risk in a sense of time and money invested. And I believe we are not even seeing the potential return on that. For me personally, what those coffee bags did is it kind of grounded our brand, at least mm-hmm. for me. It kind of,
for sure.
Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but that feeling is like, oh yeah, here we are kind of thing. For sure, we're not, you know, we haven't achieved it or made it. We still have plans and ideas, but we're somewhere. We're here.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I think that that whole project, the amount of time it took, resources, energy, everything, so worth it. It paid off.
Yeah.
Colby Williams on YouTube as well. Pop-up question. Can you describe the process of getting ready for an event? Tips for others trying to do one. Give them a couple off your top
easy. Of the head. Plan, and don't go way too like over the top on your menu. Have a few things dialed, settle it, and just send it. But also the idea of mise en place, which have everything in place, be prepared. And there's no such thing as arriving too early.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly literally no. What I was going to say is don't overcomplicate your menu. Do a small amount of things, do them exceptionally. Like if you're going to brew batch brew, give exceptional batch brew. If you're going to make vanilla lattes, ice lattes, whatever it is, just do what you do. Do it really well and then know what you're capable of, because a cart is not a cafe.
Yeah.
You're working within tight quarters, limited resources, maybe limited power, energy to the machine, whatever it is. You kind of have to, and don't overstretch yourself. Just because you're a cart, just because somebody asks you, hey, can you do a pop-up? Oh, we want this, here, this, and this. You don't need 20 different things.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Keep it tasty. And yes, arrive earlier than you think you should.
Yeah.
It's better to sit around than to be rushing to make it happen. So Brendan on YouTube says, how do you build relationships and connections in the coffee industry?
Go to events. I remember my first coffee job. And I had all of these quote unquote famous baristas that people I look up to in the industry that were local. The way I basically rub shoulders with those folks is by going through throwdowns, any kind of coffee gathering, and then going there and bring value. Like I would grab my camera and just take photos, hoping that someone would ask me for, oh, hey, you took some photos. Can you share that with me? And that was how a lot of the conversations that I got into and started connecting with people that way.
Go to a play thing like SCA. Mm-hmm. It's coming up in Portland. For those of you who are showing, coming up, for those who are going to SCA Portland, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place to build relationships and connections. Yeah, definitely add value. Go to these events. I'm telling you, go back to like your elementary school years and think about, man, what was I taught about making friends? And then do that. Yeah, because those are tried and true things that are just the basics. Like, be humble. Yeah. Practice some humility. You don't need to be snobby. You don't need toxicity in the coffee culture. You don't need to do this. Dude, be a freaking good person.
Yeah.
Do your best. Be open to people.
Yeah.
Try to provide as much value as you can. And
yeah. And by value, I'm also like, I use the example of me, you know, taking photos. That might not be the best example.
Yeah.
Because you can bring value simply by telling someone how like inspiring they are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just, I've seen it many times, like recently, like Matty Bulci winning the latte art championship again. And I think little things, just like sending a message and saying, hey, I saw that you won this, man, that was an amazing pour. Yeah. Or, hey, that really inspires me to keep pouring. And if you can, maybe one day I'll be as good as you, or maybe I won't, who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, volunteer.
Yeah.
Somewhere at a throwdown, something. Do you need a hand? Do you need somebody to mop floors? That all helps, you know? So, all righty. Alex asks, how does one obtain your level of drip, endless riz, and unquestionable steam?
Alex. Oh, man. Wow. Okay, Alex, I believe you're on TikTok. Folks, if you're on TikTok, the only way I can answer this question is with an account recommendation. Y'all ready? Y'all better follow @Giuliano_so_cute_low-key because my dude has the riz.
So good.
So good.
Yes, it's so good.
Oh, it's maybe folks won't share the same humor.
Yeah.
But
so good.
That's who I aim to be. Like, the riz is unreal.
It's unmatched. The riz, it is unmatched. So
yeah.
I actually had a similar question. I'm just gonna pull up. Somebody asked, my boy Dre asks, how do you balance being a part-time Vogue model and entrepreneurship? I don't know. I don't know.
We don't like the word balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, there it is, folks. There were so many really awesome questions. That's giving us some ideas for our future podcast episodes. So stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button. Share this with somebody who might find this entertaining or valuable. Thank you so much to everybody who submitted questions. This was a stellar episode, 1 hour deep. Episode 97 in the books. This was awesome. Any last words, Sergi?
It's 1 a.m. and I know there's so many words I stumbled across and did not pronounce correctly. It's time for bed.
Alrighty, folks. There you have it. Thank you so much for joining us once again on an episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Sessions podcast Q&A. And as always, as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.